It was probably more towards the beginning of our time separated, our time apart. I don't remember exactly what day it was. It was in the morning. I was working from home. I was sitting on the couch and got a phone call from a pastor friend. I hadn't talked to him in a few months, but it wasn't a strange thing. It wasn't something especially out of the ordinary because he is a pastor friend. In fact, one that I would consider sort of a mentor, one that I would go to by way of maybe needing some advice or some input, maybe use as a sounding board. Hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? Help me to make it better. Help me to make it something that we can do and find success in as it relates to the kingdom and as it relates to ministry. So it wasn't an odd thing, but it had been some time since we had talked. We sort of just had a casual conversation. He checked in on how things were going. I might have asked a few questions. I might have run a few ideas. We talked for a good length of time. But nothing real serious, nothing real significant necessarily in the phone call. Just sort of out of the blue to have a casual conversation. At some point in it, he spoke these words that probably we are familiar with in Christianity, probably something that is one of those Christian phrases that we Christian people are inclined to speak and to say. You've maybe said it before. Maybe you've heard it said about you or for you, to you. We're having the conversation, and it's at some point he reveals to me sort of the purpose of the call, and this is what he said. You're familiar with this. The Lord laid you on my heart. So this is why I called. This is why I'm checking in. In fact, really, I think it was that he added this. The Lord put you on my heart real strong. Lord laid you on my heart real strong. So I'm just calling to check in. Our conversation was all over the place, but when he spoke those words, there was something that God did in my heart in that moment. All of a sudden, the conversation was not with him anymore. There was a sense that in that little phrase, again, not uncommon, we've heard it, you've said it, it's been said to you, you've heard someone speak that to you, the Lord has laid you on my heart. But in that moment, it was that the Lord just exploded that phrase in my mind and in my heart. Our conversation was not anything about that. Our conversation was not about how the Lord talks to people. And Denny, the Lord's been talking to me. There was no prophetic word, as it were, spoken. It's what the Lord has laid on my heart. The conversation went all over the place. It was just in that moment, all of a sudden understanding, Denny, I'm calling you because the Lord has put you on my heart real strong. And I wanted to call and check in. In that moment, all of a sudden, there was the question that I sensed I would ask of myself and even that the Lord was asking of me. In fact, I remember we're still in the middle of our conversation, the computer's on my lap, and all of a sudden, I don't remember what I did. I opened up a Word document or opened up an email that I would send to myself, and I asked the simple question, who has the Lord laid on my heart? When he said it, all of a sudden, there was this sense, who has God put on my heart? And maybe even to say it that way, who has God put on my heart real strong? And it wasn't a sense of obligation. It wasn't a sense of responsibility. It wasn't the sense of, oh, you know, Denny, what a mess you are. And wow, what a great pastor he is because the Lord's putting people on his heart and no one's putting people on your heart. Or, hey, who's God put on your heart lately? See, he's doing it for him and he's not. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a sense, a stirring in my heart in that moment. I wanted that. I wanted to be able to call someone up and say to them, hey, just wanted you to know the purpose for the call. God just laid you on my heart. God put you on my heart real strong. I wanted the Lord to lay someone on my heart. I wanted to be in tune with God like that. I wanted to sense God speaking to me like that. I wanted to hear from God like that. I wanted to be used by God like that. It was just a sense in that moment that I was missing something if I missed God laying someone on my heart. Something I didn't want to miss. I believe it really was something that the Lord, that the Spirit prompted in me, that the Spirit sparked in me that day. And since then, even as well. And today, really, the message, simply put, it's just the opportunity for Him to do the same in you. The question I asked of myself then, I would ask of you today. I believe even that the Lord would ask of us today. Who has He laid on your heart? Not a question that's meant to come with a sort of shame on you if you don't have an answer, but more this, don't you want that? Don't you want to know? Don't you want, isn't it good to think of God speaking to you like that? God putting someone on your heart so that there would be a way you could love on them, bless them, minister to them, serve them. Isn't it good, that thought, to think that God would speak to me so that He could use me to minister to my brother, my sister? Let me share with you this morning just a few thoughts related to that. The first, let's call this the realization. The realization that is simply this: God wants to do that. I pray that you hear me this morning. God wants to do that. God wants to put people, God wants to put someone on your heart so that you could make the call, so that you could send the card, so that you could find the way to help and to bless. God wants to. You don't have to beg Him. You don't have to plead with Him. He wants to do that. He wants to do that in you. This is not something reserved for the exclusive few. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. Maybe we could say it this way: God wants to speak to us like that. Isn't it really how God does speak to us? My guess is that probably none of us in the room have heard the audible voice of God. Maybe you have. Most of us probably haven't. But we've all had those moments, haven't we, where we knew we heard from God because He impressed us with something. He put something, He put someone on and in our heart. On this day, for me, it was a conversation on the phone with a man, with the pastor. But I'm here to tell you today, I heard from God. It wasn't about the man. It wasn't about the pastor. It wasn't about the phone call. Not in that moment. Maybe all the rest was as we just kind of had a conversation. But in that moment, there was a sense you couldn't convince me otherwise, no matter how hard you tried. But in that moment that I heard from the Lord. My ear was to the phone. I was hearing a man. I was listening to him talk. I was hearing the words of a pastor. But in that moment, God was speaking to me. I know it, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. It was the word of the Lord that I heard in that moment. Denny, who has the Lord laid on your heart? Don't you want that? Don't you want to live there in that reality where God's putting people on your heart, people that you can minister to, people that you can help and strengthen in the Lord? For most of us, that's going to be how we hear from God. It's going to be something that He puts on our heart, something that He puts inside of us, something that He prompts in us, something that He sparks within us. And again, let me remind you today, let me encourage you today. Hear me closely and carefully, I pray that you would, because I really believe it's the Lord's word for us. Simply this, listen, He wants to speak to you. He wants to impress upon you something that you can do. He wants to put someone on your heart. He wants to put something on your heart. God wants to speak to you. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is reminded here, the story of Samuel, familiar probably for many of us. Samuel is ministering before the Lord under Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's really when Samuel's story begins. Prior to that, we got a little bit the story of Samuel's parents and the miracle child that Samuel really was, dedicated to the Lord and now serving the Lord, and specifically the ministry under Eli. In the middle of the night, you know this, Samuel hears someone call his name. And of course, what does he do? He runs to Eli, only to find Eli telling him that he didn't call him, that he needs to go back to bed, lie down, and go to sleep. Three times it's going to happen, and finally Eli gets it. It's not a dream. Samuel's not just hearing weird and random noises in the night thinking that it's his name being called, but in fact, it's the voice of the Lord that Samuel is hearing. And so his instructions to the boy in verse 9, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I believe it's true, as God called out to Samuel that night, so he calls out to us today. Let me personalize it. So he calls to you today. And so he calls to me today. His word to us, not necessarily to be the prophet for the nation. That's what Samuel would do. That's what God was calling him to. For us, it's likely not going to be that. Maybe, who knows what God puts on your heart? Who knows, as God begins to speak your name and you open your ears and your heart to hear what the Lord says to you, who knows what He might call you to? Who knows where He might send you? Who knows how He might work through you? More likely for us, it's the voice of the Lord calling out to us because there's a brother, there's a sister that needs some help. God calling your name, God calling my name in the day or in the night, putting that brother, putting that sister on our heart. Hey, call them. Bless them. Go and minister to them. Go and help them. Put someone, put something on your heart, on my heart. God wants to do that. God wants to speak to us like that. Can I add this before we move on? It's good when God does that. This morning, not only should there be the realization that God wants to lay someone on our heart, on your heart, not only should there be the realization that God does want to speak to us, but also this, the realization that it is good when He does. One author describes their experience with this. The only way I know to describe the feeling is to imagine you're in the place that makes you feel the happiest in all the world. You're with the person or people you love most. Your belly is full of delicious food, and you're at complete peace. That feeling in that moment is the same one that comes over me when I know God is the one leading me in a certain direction. For me, it's a feeling of belonging. Like I know somehow that I fit in this particular story. Even if I don't know how or why, I just fit. I belong in it. Even if it's uncomfortable or not what I had envisioned, I still know I belong there. Isn't that good? And isn't that true? The recognition of belonging. When I sense that God is leading me, the recognition of belonging, when I sense that God has put someone on my heart, that I heard the voice of the Lord, that God spoke to me, that God impressed in my heart the name of a brother, the name of a sister, because God wants to use me to minister to them. Maybe it's in the moment talking with my pastor friend why I wanted that. I wanted to hear God speaking to me. I wanted God using me. I wanted God laying someone on my heart because I wanted to feel that sense of belonging. I wanted to know I fit in the story that God was writing. I do believe it's important, these moments where there just comes an overwhelming sense in our heart and our spirit that we belong to God. Don't you know the devil is all the time trying to deceive you and lie to you? Recalling to your mind and to your memory every mistake that you've ever made, trying to get you to think that Jesus doesn't love you, you're not really in a relationship with him, God doesn't really hear you when you pray. And I think how wonderful then, how refreshing those moments when there's the reminder that God's with us, and God's in us, and God's for us, and God loves us, and we do belong to him. That's why Sunday morning, that's why this is so important. You're here, so you know I'm just preaching to the choir for a minute. But that's why this is so important, how refreshing this is. We're in worship, in prayer, in giving ourselves to the word. We sense this belonging, that we fit, that we're a part of the story, that we do belong to God. How important the sense of fellowship that we experience, even if it is just a few minutes out in the foyer. Better still, if it's over a meal or a phone call with brothers and sisters through the week, that sense, we belong, we are a part of God's family, and how good it is for us to experience that. I think this is one of those moments where we sense God has spoken to us. We belong to him. We do. Devil's trying to tell me 24/7, I don't. Devil's trying to tell me 24/7, I have no part in the story, but all of a sudden, God lays someone on my heart real strong. And there's a sense, I do belong. That's the voice of the Lord that I hear. That's God wanting to work in me and through me. God wanting to use me for the purposes of his kingdom. How refreshing. I believe it's true. I believe it's the Lord's word for us today. Pray that all of us would accept it even this morning. The realization the Lord wants to speak to you. Would you just verbalize it? Would you say it with me? The Lord wants to speak to me. Come on. The Lord wants to speak to me. Let yourself know the truth of that. The Lord wants to speak to me. Let's put it in the context of the message this morning. Would you just say it in agreement with me? The Lord wants to put someone on my heart. Come on. The Lord wants to put someone on my heart. You make it personal. You make it for you because it's true. I hope you grab hold of the truth of it this morning. You think that maybe your relationship with God is not at that level. You think you're in too much of a struggle. You're thinking that you're too immature in the faith. You're thinking that you've made too many mistakes, that you've messed up too much, that you're not as close to the Lord as you should be, or whatever else that you would be inclined to think. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, if you're a child of God, God wants to speak to you. And God does want to lay someone on your heart. Number two. How about we call this the preparation? Again, this story of Samuel. Just prior to the Lord calling to him, we read this, 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And then this. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I don't want to live there. Again, for many of us, maybe this morning we would recognize that it's been rare for us. Can I ask you, when was the last time you sensed the Lord speaking to you? Maybe on a Sunday morning when you sat in one of these pews, when was the last time that you knew that you knew that you knew? It might have been the voice of a man. It might have been the pastor that was up front. But I heard from the Lord, and you couldn't tell me otherwise. When was the last time that happened for you? When was the last time you opened the Word and you knew that you knew that you knew that God had spoken to you in your devotional time? Maybe through worship, maybe in your own time of prayer, that you sensed God had put something in your spirit and you knew without a doubt that not only had you met with the Lord, but you had heard from the Lord. I don't want to live where the Word of the Lord is rare. I don't want to live in that place. I don't want to live. I fear for that as it relates to our culture, as it relates to our nation. I don't want it to be that it's few and far between the Word of the Lord being spoken to His people. I want to live in the reality that God's speaking all the time, and we need to just simply tune in to hear what He's saying. I think this is the lesson for us. In 1 Samuel, God wasn't getting through to His people, not because He wasn't talking, but because the people weren't listening, because the people weren't prepared to hear what the Lord was saying. Again, I believe it's true that the Lord is always speaking, that He always has a word for us, that He always has a word to speak into your life and to my life. So what do we do? What do we need to do to receive that? What do we need to do so that we protect ourselves from the word of the Lord was rare and the visions few? Well, this morning we call it the preparation. We prepare ourselves so that the Lord might use us, speak to us, lay someone on our heart. And how do we do that? Let me give you two words. The first is silence. First Kings, Elijah has defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember perhaps the story, the competition, the contest, if you will, the God who consumes with fire, the sacrifice being offered, that's the true God. And though the prophets of Baal call out all day, nothing happens. Elijah prays and fire falls from heaven and consumes the altar. All the prophets of Baal are killed on the mountain that day. Jezebel is the wicked queen in that time, and she is furious and pronounces a death sentence on Elijah for what he's done to her prophets. And we pick up the story in 1 Kings 19. Again, a familiar portion of Scripture, probably for many of us. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He went into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat under it, prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And then an angel appeared to him and commanded him to eat because he's about to go on a 40-day and night journey to Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the Lord met Elijah there and said to him, "Go and stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." You remember this, right? Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. You know it. But the Lord, He wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. You know it. After all that came the gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake or the fire, but rather in the gentle whisper. In Hebrew, the phrase is best translated, the sound of thin silence. The wind, the earthquake, the fire. God not there. But then the silence, and God was. It's in the silence, it's in the quiet that we prepare ourselves to hear from God. I don't know how else to say it. If there's anything in the message this morning that resonates in your heart, any prompting of the Spirit, any spark inside of you, yes, I want to hear from God. I want to sense that God has laid someone on my heart. I love the thought of that. I love the thought of connecting with God like that, knowing Him, knowing His voice, sensing that He's speaking to me. I love the thought that God would use me to encourage, to strengthen, to help, to bless a brother or sister. I want that sense of belonging. I want to be a part. I want to fit into the story that God's writing. If there's anything in the message this morning that resonates in your heart, I have to tell you, I believe it's an obstacle probably for all of us. Listen, you're going to have to get rid of the noise. You're going to have to find a way to get comfortable with the silence, because God's not in the wind, He's not in the fire, He's not in the earthquake, He's in the sound of thin silence. We don't like silence, do we? If you've ever been a part of maybe some ceremony or service where there was a moment of silence, you understand how uncomfortable a moment of silence can be. In fact, you probably recognize a moment of silence is never a moment because it's so uncomfortable for all of us. Not in a sense of being disrespectful to whoever, whatever is being honored or esteemed in that moment, but we're just uncomfortable with the silence. We don't like it. We're accustomed to the noise. Let's practice this morning. A moment of silence. That was like 10 seconds and we're done, aren't we? It's too awkward. It's just kind of, somebody say, come on, Pastor, say something. We get it. Can I encourage you? If you want to begin to hear more and better the word of the Lord, you're going to have to make more room for silence in your life. No phone, no computer, no TV on in the background. Maybe, even no worship, no sermon playing, just you. Notebook and pen and the sound of thin silence. Mother Teresa is quoted as saying, "Listen in silence. Because if your heart is full of other things, you can't hear the voice of God." Another, the gentle whisper, the sound of silence. They say it's the kind of voice you can only hear when you quiet the world around you enough to hear it. You have to be listening for it. In the silence, we can tune in to what God would say to us, all that He would lay on our hearts. You've maybe heard this illustration. Radio waves are actually, even right now in the room, they're bouncing all over the place. But you're not hearing the radio station because you're not tuned in to it. Maybe you've traveled and you get out of range of your preset radio stations and you go back to the old school dial and you're having to turn that thing. And you know what it is to have to turn it a little bit more. And as you travel further, the music, the talk show, it gets all garbled and distorted and a bunch of static. And so you have to tune it. Eventually, you maybe end up losing. You lose the signal. And so you have to tune to a different station. There's a sense, so it is with God. God wants to speak. God is speaking all the time, saying something to us. We have to tune in or we'll miss the signal. It's in the silence that you tune your heart in to what God's saying to you. It's in the silence that the Lord can fine-tune your heart to hear what He's saying to you. It's in the silence that you can listen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9, again, the instruction, go and lie down, and if He calls you, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Jesus in John 10 will say, my sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. Make room for the silence so that you don't miss Him. Can I encourage you in this as well? Don't miss Him. In the silence. One author writes, in the silence, that's how I found I most clearly. They add this, when I stop brushing everything off as just coincidence, and I start paying attention to the small signs He gives me. He speaks in the silence, and his is the gentle whisper. His is the still small voice. Can I say it like this? It can be easy to miss him. It can be easy to brush off his voice as just coincidence, just a passing thought. I was reminded, my dad would often say, and probably still does, this little phrase, because you thought of it. Because you thought of it. Hey, Dad, should we lock the car doors? No, well, we're probably okay, but because you thought of it, maybe we better. Hey, Dad, should we call ahead before we go? I think they're expecting us, but because you thought of it, maybe we should. Listen, sometimes his is the because you thought of it voice. Hey, I wonder how they're doing. That might be more than just a passing thought. That might be more than just your curiosity at work. That might be his gentle whisper. Don't miss it. All of a sudden, you might find yourself, I don't mean to be weird or to sound weird in this, but you might find yourself passing the same person in the grocery store aisle, first this aisle, and there they are again in the next aisle, and the next aisle even still. And before you're too quick to pass that off as coincidence, wow, there must not be very many people in the store because I keep seeing the same person. Maybe you ought to recognize you might be hearing the gentle whisper. Sometimes our heart gets full of other things. And we don't hear him. Sometimes we get uncomfortable in the silence. Listen, if you can, if you don't learn to quiet the world around you enough to hear him, you won't hear him. You have to silence everything so you can hear him. And sometimes in the silence, we can miss him. Because we think, well, that was a weird thought. That was a coincidence. Don't miss him. Don't miss his gentle whisper. How do you prepare two words, the silence and now number two, the compliance? I don't know how else to say it. If we don't obey him when he speaks, I think it makes him less inclined to speak to us. There needs to be a sense. Yes, I want to be a part of the story. I want to feel that sense of belonging. I want to be in tune with God, knowing that he's speaking, knowing that he's wanting to use me. But in order for there to be that, there must be a commitment to obey. If you, like me, if you really want God to lay someone on your heart, I'm going to ask you this morning, yes, but what are you going to do when he does? Are you going to make the phone call? Are you going to make the visit? Are you going to send the card? Are you going to free up your calendar so to help? Are you going to go and make the withdrawal from the bank account so that you can bless? What about this? Samuel, if you finish the story, gets a word from the Lord. It's a hard word. A word of judgment on Eli's sons who were wicked. What if it's that? What if the Lord lays someone on your heart and a difficult word for them? I would just take a moment to caution you. If that gets you excited, oh, I hope the Lord gives me that word, you might not be the person for that word. In fact, I would challenge you that it's probably not you that the Lord, I can't wait to go tell everybody what's wrong with them. You're probably not the one that God's going to be using for that purpose. But if your heart's broken, oh, my brother, my sister, struggling, they're drifting, their spiritual life, and if there's something broken, if there's a burden of responsibility, I have to go confront them, and I don't want them angry. I don't want them walking away from God. I don't want them to miss that even in their sin, God loves them. I don't want them to miss the message of love and grace and mercy and hope. I don't want them just to hear the message of condemnation. If there's that that breaks your heart and overwhelms you, the responsibility, listen, it might be the most uncomfortable thing for you, but you might be exactly the person that God would use for that purpose. How about this? What if God lays on your heart someone you don't like? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when God lays them? No, God. I wanted my friend. I wanted this person that I like, that I get along with, that doesn't drive me nuts. God, I want, you were supposed to lay on my heart this person, not them. What if God lays on your heart something you don't usually do? Something that you've never done. Something you don't feel yourself very good at doing. We must be obedient. We must be compliant when the Lord does that. Finally, this morning, the examination. We end where we began. I ask you the question I asked myself a few weeks ago. Who has the Lord put on your heart? Do you realize? Do you recognize? Do you understand? Do you truly believe that God wants to speak to you? Are you ready for Him to speak to you? Are you ready for God to put someone on your heart? Do you recognize this morning that it's good when He does that, when He speaks, when He uses me like that? Is there a stirring within your heart? I want God to speak to me. I want God to use me. I want Him. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening to you. Put someone on my heart. What preparations do you need to make? How are you in the silence? How are you with the compliance? Who has the Lord put on your heart? How are you going to respond to that? Not long ago, I saw a quote, appreciate those who love you, serve those who need you, forgive those who hurt you, and thank those who help you. Who has the Lord put on your heart? The one who's loved you that you can appreciate. The one who needs you that you can serve. Who has the Lord put on your heart? Even the one who's hurt you that you can forgive. The one who's helped you that you can now thank. Who has the Lord put on your heart that you can call, you can pray for, you can bless? How about this? Rather than the who, how about the what? What has the Lord put on your heart? What do you need to change? What do you need to work on? What do you need to do? In James chapter 1, don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. The word of the Lord today, He wants to speak to you. He wants you ready so that He can put someone on your heart. So we don't just hear that, we do it. We prepare ourselves and we let Him speak to us. And that's the examination. Who has He put? What has He put on your heart? Let me conclude. Leave you with this thought. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss connecting the dots here. Do you understand? Watch this, because this is the good news as we consider this. As you do this, as we all do this, you have to understand, eventually, right, God's putting you on someone's heart. So if Brother Dwight says, yes, Lord, speak, your servant's listening. I want you, God, to use me. I want to hear from you. And Brother Dwight senses that God's put Mike on his heart. And Dwight, how can I pray? What can I do, Lord? I'm ready. But you understand, Mike's doing the same. And Bill's doing the same, and Pam's doing the same, and Carol's doing the same, and Tina's doing the same, and Lisa's doing the same, and Phil's doing the same. Do you understand? Eventually, it's going to come full circle, and someone is going to get laid on their heart all the way back to the beginning. I don't want you to miss it today, because this is really my story and what happened to me. It's the phone call. It's the encouragement that comes from knowing this. The Lord's laying you. Come on now, that's good news. The Lord's laying you on the heart of your brother, your sister. They don't know why. They don't fully understand. Can't explain it. They aren't sure the details, what you might be going through. But the Lord is laying you on their heart, praying for you, thanking of you, how they can help you, what they can do to bless you, minister to you, encouraging you. The Lord's doing that right now. You think you're all alone. You think no one knows. You think no one understands. You even begun to think that God, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even understand what you're going through. But that's not true, because God does know and God does understand. And not just that, he's laying you right now on the heart of somebody that's opened themselves to this word today so that they could intercede for you, so that they could help you, so that they could believe God on your behalf, that God would bring you through whatever you're in the middle of. How about this? Before we finish with prayer and worship, let me take you back to last Sunday and remind you ultimately of this. You're on the Lord's heart. Right now, in fact, day and night, what does he do? He sits at the right hand of the Father and does what? Intercedes for you. He prays for you. And he works out the details of your life as you live your life in him. He works out all the details so that in the end, it's always and only good for you. He prays for you. Because you are on his heart. I don't know what you're going through today, but in the end, I just want to leave you with not only the challenge, let's live there. Come on, church, let's be a people that are open to the word of God being spoken to us. Yes, the Lord wants to speak to me. The Lord does speak to me. And it's oh so good when he does. And he puts someone on my heart. He put someone on my heart today. He put something on my heart, even here at these altars this morning before I leave. God would speak to me. God would use me. God would bring to my heart a sense of belonging. Make me to be a part of his story. Yes, 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 I want that. Not only the challenge to live there, not only the challenge to step out in that, but as well this morning, leave you with the encouragement, no matter what you're going through, you're on his heart. And he puts you on the heart of others as well. Father, we thank you today for your word. And I pray, Father, this is just my story. And you so did something in my heart. You know it. From that conversation. And Lord, it's just this morning wanting to share that, feeling that it would be appropriate to do so, even a sense that it would be from you, that what you did then, a few weeks ago now, in that moment was for me, but in this moment would be for me to share with others, so that we could maybe all step in to this sort of newfound recognition that God, you do speak to us. You want to speak to us. Maybe that's been rare for us of late. And today we would determine and decide we want to be back to that place where our hearts are open, our ears are open, we're tuned in to what God, you would be saying and how you would be laying someone or something on our heart. Father, this morning, maybe there's a sense of understanding we need to prepare ourselves a little bit better. Maybe you would remind us today, you know, you're really not very good with the silence. You're quick to run into your devotional time. All you do in it is talk. You're quick running here and there. You never take time to just sit and listen to what I might be saying to you. Maybe some of us were too quick to brush off as coincidence. Maybe some of us, truth be told, we just recognize as it is that if you would have given us Jenny's story, we would have just flipped right through thinking, that's weird. I keep thinking of her. I keep thinking of that family member. But I just, that's kind of an odd thing. And we would have just brushed it off. This morning, maybe you're reminding us, helping us, get comfortable with the silence and be sure to be obedient to what you would say to us. Lord, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you would do this morning. I don't know all that you would do. I pray simply that you would prepare us so that we might be ready in that moment when you want to put someone on our heart, so that we would pray, so that we would help, so that we would call, so that we would visit, so we'd do whatever it is that you put inside of us. And Lord, for my brother or sister struggling today, pray for them just for a moment. God, would you encourage them? They are on your heart, and you're putting them on the heart of others. I don't know what you're going through today, but I just sense that it would be the word that the Lord would have me to leave with you. You are on his heart. and he's putting you in the midst of your struggle, and it's a difficult season for you. But you've got to know today, you got to hear the word of the Lord. You're on his heart, and he's putting you on the hearts of your brothers and sisters, that they would pray for you, that you would make it through. Father, we receive that word today. If you're here this morning and you're not in a relationship with Jesus like you should be, I just invite you to know that the Lord's heart is that you would return to him, surrender to him, give your life to him. Maybe right now the Lord's putting that on your heart. Hey, relationship's not like it should be. You need to come closer. You need to surrender to me. You sense that. You don't need me to tell you that, because you sense it in your heart right now. That's what the Lord's putting on your heart. I want to encourage you today, don't walk away from that. Don't brush that off as silliness. But rather instead, respond to the word of the Lord and give your life to him with those simple words. Jesus, I give my life to you. Father, in this time of prayer and worship, before we go, would you lay on our heart someone or something before we step out of this room? In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I pray that you would hear the voice of the Lord afresh and anew. I pray that the Lord, whether it be today or in the few days to come, the week to come, that the Lord would put someone on your heart. Put something on your heart. And I pray today that the Lord would bless you. I speak his blessing over you. On the authority of his word, I declare it, that it must be so. God's blessing would rest on you. Would you extend your hands today to receive that? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and good to you. The Lord turn to you and give you his peace. Amen. Would you receive that today? Amen. Amen and amen.